Call this meeting of the Legislative Council to order. It is August 16th, 2021 at 3:06 p.m. Ms. Sante-Lesch, can you please call the roll?
Speaker Stutes.
Present.
Representative Foster.
Here. Here.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Klayman.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Present.
Senator Schauer.
Here.
Senate President Machicki.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Stedman. Senator Stevens.
Here.
Senator Hughes.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
Thirteen members present.
With that, we have a quorum. The first item on our agenda today is approval of the minutes of the February 25th, 2021 meeting. Senator Reinbold.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Is there any objection? All right. Then the agenda is approved, and I think maybe I said minutes, but it was approval of the agenda, and I apologize. The next item is approval of the minutes of February 25th, 2021. Senator Reinbold, do we have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the minutes dated February 25th, 2021 as presented.
Is there any discussion of the minutes of February 25? Seeing no discussion or objection, then the minutes are approved. That brings us to the first. The next item of business today is an amendment to the COVID-19 litigation policy for legislative facilities. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
Senator Machicki was going to make this motion because I have deep problems with this.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, I move that Legislative Council adopt the COVID-19 mitigation policy as amended.
Object.
We have an objection, and to understand the motion, we have at the table Legislative Affairs Executive Director Jessica Geary to discuss the proposed changes to the policy and to take questions. Ms. Geary, please.
Good afternoon. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. I worked with the Chair's office to draft these recommended updates to our current policy. It reinstates a mask mandate within the Capitol and legislative facilities. And the other items are basically unchanged from the current policy. I think we added a section in there about social distancing. You're encouraged to practice social distancing. The language added regarding the masks takes it back to the language that was approved last session. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Senator Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. I appreciate what you've done. Jessica, could you talk to us about the testing? What are you planning on testing, and where will it be, like last session, or how will that work for legislators?
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we are working with the Bartlett Regional Hospital and the City and Borough of Juneau right now for offering a what we're looking at is a twice weekly down in the transportation committee room. It'll be voluntary, so anybody who wants to go get tested just needs to register. I'm working to get the links so that I can send those out.
And so that'll be available to everyone within the building who wants to get tested. And it's not a rapid test like the ones we used previously with the contractor Beacon. It's a lab-based test. So they'll collect it, send it to the Bartlett lab. You get the results back in less than 24 hours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I got so used to the testers we had here. They were so good, and they knew how to do it without pain. And I had one recently at home, and it was amazing. Some people have no idea what they're doing in those tests. So I hope we get the right people to make sure they do the job right, but not make it painful.
Other members?
So I just came back from a trip, lower 48, and we went to a place called Pike Place Market. Thousands of people going through there, and they had a big sign. Sign said, masks are recommended. Mm-hmm. And many people had masks on. Most people probably had masks on. Don't know of the unmasked if they were vaccinated or not. I know you were trying to avoid that, but I would be much more supportive of this policy change if we change the word required to recommended. I'd probably wear a mask, especially around LAA folks that made it clear that they want me to wear a mask, or other legislators that want me to wear a mask. I really don't have a problem with that. I think the required part just puts us back into that battle again, one that we heard very audible cheer the meeting that we eliminated the through those doors when we eliminated the mask requirement in the building. I think we pushed. I bet we're in the 90% range for vaccinated individuals. I've read everything CDC has ever put out. I'd like to move that we change required to recommended and let individuals make the choice. Now here's, if I may, Madam Chair, there's a couple ways that we could limit actual new exposure in the building. We could close the building to non-residents. I haven't been here long right now, but the halls, typically there's, you know, very few in them. A lot of staff didn't come down for special session. Heck, a lot of legislators are going to be in and out, not here very much. Most of us are vaccinated. Like I said, if I'm in a crowded place and I know there are people that are uncomfortable, I'm going to wear a mask. In a place where people are not uncomfortable, I'd make that personal choice. But I wish the committee would consider changing the word required to recommended, and I will make that motion.
Senator Schauer, may I make comment?
First, we need to make sure we've got the motion on the record, and then I'll ask for comments on that motion. So let me just clarify, Senator Michicki, that you are asking, we're on a memo that has state, let's just make sure that we're all in the same place, and the word you are changing is the correct word. So
the word... Yes, Madam Chair, on page one, after line section one, Roman numeral one, face covering masks, face covering / masks are recommended in all legislative facilities instead of required.
Okay, so the motion is to substitute the word recommended in the place and the header on Roman number one where it currently reads required. Senator Stevens, and then actually Senator Schauer expressed an interest, so I'm going to go to Senator Schauer first, and then I'll come to Senator Stevens. Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I second, if you want to call it that, and support Senator Michicki's, I think, very reasonable and prudent recommended change for a lot of different reasons. Won't go into those. I thought he did a good job of explaining some very good reasons why this would make sense. I would also point out that we continue to get conflicting guidance, and it has changed based on the mask, for and against. I think one of the biggest highlights is that, as Senator Machicki said, almost the entire legislature is now vaccinated. And since they have acknowledged that masks do not actually stop the transmission or the reception, I think we're in a reasonable place to do that and allow people to make that choice. As he said, I think it also is very clear it would keep us from having continuous tension and allow us to focus on the mission at hand. So I just wanted to make those comments on the record that I support Senator Machicki's recommendation, and I think it would be a very reasonable and prudent decision. Thank you.
Senator Schauer. Or excuse me, Senator Stevens. That was Senator Schauer.
Thank you. So what is the situation in Juneau? We're in the city of Juneau. It's the capital. Do they require masks or not?
Yes. The city of Juneau does require in public buildings that people are masked inside.
Then, Madam Chair, it seems to me we need to honor the community that we're in, and if they require masks, then I think we should require masks in this building as well. I think it's a little premature when you read all the information coming from CDC and others. I think we're possibly facing a real uptick in the number of cases, and it seems like this is not the time to be making things easier for that virus to travel. So, in conclusion, I believe we should honor Juneau and do what they want, what they are recommending.
Other members of the committee, Representative Klayman, and then it'll be Tilton.
I would just note that to the extent that this amendment is adopted, I also think it would require changes to the next paragraph that has to do with LAA staff and lounge staff coming into offices, because under the current way it's written, if there's a mandatory policy, if an office isn't following mask protocol, then LAA staff and lounge staff doesn't come into the office, into those offices, because they're not complying. And I think there's a level in terms of workplace safety that there should be a pretty clear policy. And if we're going to have a optional mask policy, then I think that staff should, it should be clear that staff is not required to go into offices. Because I do think I agree with Senator Stevens, I think at some level, although this is the capital and we have our offices here, we also are visitors to Juneau more of the year than we're here, and I think we need to be respective of the attitudes of the local community.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would agree with the recommendation, using the word recommendation versus using the word require, because I do think it is a matter of personal choice, and I think that we as adult human beings can make decisions and should be making decisions on whether we are healthy, and if we are not, we should not be around and passing those virus or whatever we may have. And I think part of the challenge that we had with face masks during our last session had to do with them, how it muffles and how hard it is to hear, and for some people who actually read lips. And we are in a business of communication and communicating with each other, and so it makes it very hard to understand. I know we had challenges on the House floor in communicating, and I feel that I just, a recommendation is a better way of proceeding forward. We haven't had in this particular building, we have people coming from all over in different places and different communities, as was pointed out in the letter sent by our executive director, that the municipality of Anchorage, the Fairbanks North Scarborough and the Matsu Borough have not implemented any of these kind of mandates. So I just would prefer, and I think that we would be better suited and be able to get our business done if we stuck with recommendation.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sort of dovetail off of Senator Stevens' comments a little bit, and just to look back to where we were a year ago, and when we actually had to close down the Capitol and have limited access and have just certain access points in the building, mandatory testing and so forth. And we've certainly come a long way since then, and I really appreciate the work of LAA and certainly of Ledge Council in coming back and reconsidering all of that, or at least to some degree, because one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that Capitol Now is accessible to the public, and we do have people from all parts of the country. And my short time here in the building, I've already seen people from several different states. Many of them, at least the few that I saw, were wearing masks. Not all of them, though, were wearing masks. And, you know, it's my opinion, some may disagree with this, but I think a lot of our school districts are going to be mandating wearing masks because the Delta variant could be one of many variants that are out there. And I think in support of Representative Clayman's comments, you know, we are visitors to this community, although we represent the state as a whole, and I think it's our duty to be examples and to set the stage for, you know, more people getting vaccinated because that we're taking this, you know, the variant seriously. There's a lot that we still don't know about it. Alaska, I think, and I don't mean to preach here a little bit, but I think we're, what, 50% vaccinated rate in the state? Half the state is not vaccinated. In some areas, that number varies widely, but in this community, it's almost 75% or so that are vaccinated, so it's a very impressive response, in my view, my opinion. Some may differ with that. But I'm going to not support the change from required to recommending, recommended at this point, because I'm going to stay consistent, I think, with the Ledge Council position we took a year or so ago that had us adhering to CDC guidelines, no matter how you know, unclear they might be at times. And I know that that's a picture that continues to evolve quite a bit. But I guess just I'll close by just saying it's a personal philosophy. I don't like wearing masks at all, but I'll take that extra step just as I willingly do when I get on an airplane or when I'm in you know, an airplane terminal or something like that. And so for those measures, I appreciate the intent of the motion and respect, you know, the spirit behind it, but I'm not going to be supporting the amendment, that is. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to have Senator Michicki, then Senator Bishop, then Speaker Stutes.
Mine is a brief clarification, sort of in response to someone else that spoke earlier, Representative Clayman. I do not propose any changes. If folks remember how it was before, I was tried to be a champion of LEA folks that were uncomfortable in different situations. Some of my championing activities became rather famous from being unfortunately recorded as I tried to protect those employees. I don't believe that paragraph should change. If a LEA employee is uncomfortable, I think that folks should work their hardest to make those individuals comfortable by protecting them at the same level. So I just wanted to be clear, although it would be optional, that my proposal does not change that paragraph. When someone is in your office to serve you, you are should live to their standard while we're still under the pandemic issue that we're facing. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bishop.
Thank you. I mean, for me, Roman numeral 4, the word recommended, I don't like. I mean, if I was king for a day, I'd have Beacon back here testing us. I don't want to go to Bartlett. And personally, to me, that's the weakest part of this protocol. If you were really concerned about the spread of COVID-19. Thank you.
Speaker Stutes.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. This is really a difficult one for me because I came in here already. I was happy as heck not to have the masks and not to have the mask policy. But if anybody watches the local news, you'll know the community I come from is, I believe, the highest rate of contagious members in the state. For a small community, Kodiak has the highest transmitted numbers. And I know personally several of those people. that are currently ill that have been immunized. That is a concern to me. We're dealing with something a little bit different. I think had it not been for that particular issue, I would very easily support the good senator's amendment. But in light of that, and in light of personally seeing these people, and they're really sick. I mean, they are really sick. They're not just kind of sick. And it's amazing the number that have been immunized. So I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to support this amendment based on that. Thank you.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate everyone's concern about the health and well-being of the people in and out of this building. I do want to share a bit of good news that have come out of two studies. One is an Israeli study and the Cleveland Clinic, which those who've had COVID-19 have a 6.7 times stronger immunity than those who've been vaccinated, which means they also have a less of a chance of being a carrier because they have a more thorough protection of the entire surface of the virus rather than just the spike protein portion. So I just want to point that out. The other thing is side effects of wearing masks, and this is perhaps a bit comical, but side effects when we're breathing in our own CO2 include confusion, garbled thoughts, and anxiety. And if there were ever a time where I believe we need to have clear heads and a calm demeanor, I think it is during the special session, so I will be supporting the motion. Thank you.
Anyone else?
This is Senator Reinbold.
Go ahead, Senator Reinbold.
Well, first of all, I want to apologize for not being there in person. I did try to get down there this week, and Alaska Airlines canceled my ticket. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but it is tricky for me to get down there. I will say that I do not support mandating CDC guidance. I think CDC has been all over the map. I will support the recommended, not required. Some people are really having a real hard time with some of the CDC guidance, which I have read, even including for the vaccinated. It's suggesting new evidence regarding the Delta variant. It suggests that fully vaccinated people can spread the Delta variant to others, even if asymptomatic. I would really like to see, you know, the science in regards to that. I also looked at the high and substantial levels and printed that. I actually sent that to several people. And just so people to know, a moderate is 1 to 7, roughly, per 100,000. Substantial is 7 to 14 per 100,000. And high is 14 and over per 100,000. So if I did the math right, that's 0.014% of the population. It's a very, very, very tiny. And also I've looked at the CDC, and they've been all over the map with in regards to masks and the efficacy of masks. Matter of fact, there was a 70-year study that was extremely, said that if any, they could do very, very little. It's very controversial, the efficacy of masks. And the N95s may have a small reduction of transmission. I believe COVID is about 0.3 microns, and even between each weave of the N95, it's 11 microns. So lots of COVID can get through, but we're not even allowed to wear the N95. That's prohibited in the policy. So I will be saying that I do support recommending, you know, following guidelines. I will not be supporting requiring us to follow these, because they're way, way controversial. And if we're going to focus on things, we need to focus on all communicable diseases, not just COVID. There's lots and lots of communicable diseases. And if we're going to start policing, you know, one over another, you know, that needs to be substantiated. But there's tremendous amount of communicable diseases out there. And I think we're getting into a liability situation here. And I think we each individually need to take our own responsibility.
All right. So I see no one else seeking the floor. We have before us Amendment 1 to amend the current proposed policy proposal on the bold under Roman numeral 1 to delete the word required and substitute the word recommend. Senator Michicki is the maker of that motion, and we are ready for a roll call vote on that.
Speaker Stutes.
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Edgemon?
No.
Representative Klayman?
No.
Representative Tuck?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Schauer?
Yes.
Senate President Machicki?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Stevens?
No.
Madam Chair, I have a question about the alternate voting. Senator Hughes voting on this, just now that Senator Stedman's online. Senator Hoffman is brief at ease.
Order. In response to the question asked, Senator Hughes will be allowed as the alternate to vote.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
No.
The vote is tied 7-7.
7-7, the motion fails. That brings us back to the original mitigation policy before us. Further discussion? Seeing no discussion? No one seeking?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Reinbold, go ahead.
Basically, what I would like to have them, when it says Roman numeral 5, I would like Ledge Council to describe what the vaccinated and unvaccinated do if they're in close contact. I could find the vaccinated, you know, on CDC, but I'd like them to go completely over what, and are we mandating guidance, or are we just going to be following the guidance of CDC? And if so, what exact guidance for this very, very low 1-7 per 100,000 or substantial 7-14 or high over 14 per 100,000? It's a very teeny, teeny, teeny percentage of the population, and I want to know with the masking and with what you're requiring, because it said the legislature will follow. So basically they're mandating guidance is my understanding. If I'm reading this wrong, I need to be fully aware of what you guys are saying you're trying to get us to agree to.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. Ms. Geary.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, this is referring to people who test positive or who are a close contact of a known positive. And the reason we didn't spell out the guidance is because it is ever-changing. And so my understanding is the current guidance right now, for vaccinated, there's no need to quarantine if you're a close contact, though if you develop symptoms, you are to get tested and follow whatever those protocols are for your time away from work until your symptoms resolve. If you are unvaccinated and you come into close contact with a known positive or you're sick and test positive yourself, then you're supposed to quarantine for 10 days, make sure you don't develop any symptoms, and then you can get a follow-up test at the end of that.
So is there anything on the CDC talking about any updated recommendations regarding camps or anything like that?
Regarding what, Senator?
Shielding camps or anything like that?
Still the camps, C-A-M-P-S?
Correct.
I'm not understanding the question, and I don't believe Ms. Geary does either.
Senator Reinbold, I'm not familiar with that term as it pertains to this.
Anything in regarding to shielding or those? There was information that was out this weekend in regards to shielding and recommendations by the CDC.
And I wanted to know if you have heard anything in regards to that, and if any of that, even if it were to come out, are you guys just carte blanche telling the legislature that we will follow regardless of the recommendations and the guidance that it will be mandated? That's my question.
Senator, are you asking about what are acceptable face coverings, as in face shields, or are you asking about collective gatherings of people in a...
Collective gatherings.
Okay, so since our policy about the building and ledge council does not address events outside of the legislature, and as far as I know, we have no legislative camps scheduled, I'm going to... I don't think the question is relevant.
It was not in regards to the legislative camps. It's in regard to shielding, you know, shielding of people. There was information out there. We're trying to get the information. We have not got our hands on it yet. Some people do have the documents. But what I'm basically asking, are you guys asking the legislature to follow lock and step guidance for individuals with all the CDC recommendations? Or are they very specifically lined out here and only these that they're referring to? When Jessica said it's ever-changing, that issues a serious red flag to me. If it's ever-changing, we may have real problems with some things that the CDC has proposed. And if this is not very clearly defined, I cannot be supporting this new policy. I'm a no voter that stands right now.
Senator, the policy as drafted relates to COVID protocols and our mitigation policy in this building. And when Ms. Geary responded to you and said we'll follow CDC guidance that is ever-changing, it was in regard to a close contact with a positive case differentiating between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. So a pretty narrow response to we'll follow CDC guidance.
Can we take an Addies, please?
We'll take an Addies.
Brief.
Senator Reinbold, Senator Hughes tried to clarify for us that shielding camps were in a CDC document about community response and community quarantines. And I believe we sort of addressed that in that our policy is only about legislative facilities, not entire communities.
Okay. So thank you. So basically what the shielding approach is, it aims at reducing the number of severe cases by limiting contact between individuals with higher risk of developing the disease, and they define high risk and low risk, and they recommend temporarily be relocated to safe or green zones established in households, neighborhoods, camp, sector, or community level, depending on the context and setting. And that's what I was referring to. It is up on the CDC.
Okay.
Question, Madam Chair.
The question has been called. So the question before us is to adopt the Legislative Council COVID-19 mitigation policy as amended in the document before you on August 16th. Ms. Lesh, please call the roll.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
No.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
No.
Senate President Michicki.
No.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
No.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
Eight yeas and six nays.
So with a vote of eight yeas and six nays, the mitigation policy as drafted and before you on August 16th has been adopted. This now brings us to our next item on the agenda, which is to go into an executive session to discuss a janitorial contract for the Anchorage Legislative Information Building, a proposal to accept the Assembly Building from the Juneau Community Foundation. Both of those require us to go into executive session. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for us to go into executive session?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of Government Unit 22B3, discussion of matter that may by law be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or on. I'm going to call this meeting of the Legislative Council back to order. We have been in an executive session. I'd like to entertain a motion for the janitorial contract for the Anchorage Legislative Office Building. Senator Reinbold, do you have that motion? I move that the Legislative Council approve and award the RFP 646 for Anchorage Janitorial Services to Q1 Corporation for a one-year contract and a five-year optional one-year renewals with not to exceed the value of $56,000 per contract year.
I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. I believe that contract was summarized. Do we want to put that on the record? Mr. Kessel, if you'll just summarize what that contract will be before we take a roll call vote.
Sure, just a quick procedural question. It took a motion to get us in the executive session. Doesn't it take a motion to get us out? No?
Just have to reestablish the quorum.
Call the roll.
Do we need to call the roll?
Yes.
Okay, so I apologize. Thank you procedurally. Ms. Lesh, please call the roll. Make sure we still have a quorum here to conduct business.
Yes.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Representative Edmond.
Here.
Representative Klayman.
Here.
Representative Peck.
Here.
Representative Hilton.
Here.
Senate President Maticki.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Present.
Senator Sauer.
Here.
Senator Hughes.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Still here after 2 hours.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
14 members present.
So we have reestablished our quorum. We are out of executive session. We have before us a motion to approve the award of RFP 646, and J.C. Kessel will just give us a very brief summary of that contract.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. For the record, my name is J.C. Kessel, procurement officer with the Legislative Affairs Agency. And regarding the contract award for RFP 646 request from LAA, resummarizing some of my memo contents, RFP 646 closed August 6th. There were 4 proposals received. The proposals were reviewed by a proposal evaluation committee. Once the evaluation scores were tallied, finalized, Q1 Corporation was considered the most beneficial and awarded the highest points. The agency recommended the award of 646 to Q1 Corporation for the janitorial services of the Anchorage Legislative Office Building, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
See no members seeking the floor, and I objected to make sure we had that on the record. I will remove my objection. Is there anyone else objecting?
I object.
Senator Schauer. Okay. So, Ms. Lesh, do you want to speak to your objection, Senator?
I do. Thank you. Madam Chair, what I have heard today does not provide me a compelling reason to believe that we should go ahead and accept this.
Senator Schauer?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Go ahead.
Wrong. The first one, the motion before us, is about the janitorial contract for the Anchorage Legislative Office Building.
I apologize. I could not hear that. It cut out. I retract everything I said and take it back.
Okay. I thought you might. Is there anyone who wants to object to the awarding of RFP 646? Seeing no objection, that motion has been adopted by, so I'm getting a head shake that we have to take a roll call.
Yes.
And I apologize. Please, Ms. Lesh, if you'll call the roll.
Speaker Suit.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Peck.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
With 14 yeas and 0 nays, you have been authorized to approve that contract.
Thank you, Chair Hannon.
All right. The second item that we dealt with and discussed in executive session is the donation of the Assembly Building from the Juneau Community Foundation. Senator Reinbold, are you prepared to make that motion?
Yes, I move that the Legislative Council authorize the transfer of the property located at 211 4th Street in Juneau, Alaska to the Legislative Council. I further move that the Legislative Council authorize the Legislative Affairs Agency to act as an agent for the legislature and execute and enter into an appropriate agreement regarding the transfer.
All right. Is there an objection to that motion?
Objection.
Okay. Representative Tilton, would you like to speak to your objection?
Sure, thank you. I do really appreciate the Community Foundation looking at presenting a gift to the legislature. I just have a lot of concerns about the environmental concerns there, and also just the fact that at this time in our state when we should just be reducing the size and footprint of government, it's just a tough time to say that we could take on what could potentially be an expense, and I know that we do have some capital funds here sitting in the legislature, but I think that we should be conserving those funds. So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Other members seeking the floor. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also am really grateful to the community. The Juneau Community Foundation is quite the gift. And I understand this vote today isn't putting us on the hook for the $3.8 million. I fully understand that. But I also see that there's, we do know there's some lead paint. We know there's some asbestos-containing materials. And we know that we might need to be moving some offices from other locations that might be part of the plan and use of this, which will probably involve some remodeling and also need for modernizing some of the electrical systems. So I do see this as putting future line items before us. And we are in a tight spot right now. But another thing I want to mention, just representing the folks in my neck of the woods, they would really like to see an option for, on occasion, for certain times, be able to hold a floor session in South Central. So if I knew that before we would begin to spend money on upgrading certain things and taking care of lead paint and asbestos and electric wiring, that we would also set up an option in a closer range for more Alaskans for a floor session, then I would be a yes. But
My district would like to see that as a priority over this, so for that reason, I'll be a no. I'm pretty sure that Senator Schauer wanted the floor previously, so I'm going to send that to you, Senator Schauer.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You would be correct. I won't withdraw this one. Thank you for the floor. I'll continue where I stopped. I've heard a lot of concerns from folks that brought up really good points that we have potential risk of what we may be on the hook for maintenance costs, for assessments based on environmental hazards, other things that are unknown. I heard that we are under a tight timeline, which means we have to rush, and usually when you rush, you tend to make bad decisions, or at least ones that can become costly. I have not heard a compelling need for the legislature to take this building, knowing that we may potentially be on the hook for some of these things later, and as one of the representatives pointed out, this is probably not the time for the government to be potentially doing that when we are talking about how we need to be reducing the cost, and we're struggling to pay our bills. And we're talking about taxes and other things at this point. I don't think that sends the right message for the legislature to potentially put us on the hook for what could be millions of dollars down the road, depending on how it works out. And I understand that. This is not a guarantee. But I don't think this is the time to be taking that risk. All I heard were some maybes, some possibles, but there was nothing certain about it. So when you add all of those things together at the point in time with where we are, and especially when we know there's some potential environmental hazards that we, based on this timeline, don't have the ability to pursue, to put some of us at ease on what we might be getting ourselves into, I find it a very hard pill to swallow to say that this is a wise decision at this point in time. So for those reasons and the fact that we don't have more time to explore this like we should and make sure that we're not putting ourselves into a place we don't want to be 6 months, a year, 5 years down the road, I can't support it. Thanks for the floor.
Thank you.
Senator Reingold.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate having the floor. I am a supporter of trying to not twine and intertwine the three branches of government. So for one small reason, I would support this. If we could get the executive branch, you know, at least discuss that out of the legislative branch, out of the Capitol. I think that we do not know the risk and liabilities. I said I would not vote for this unless we had a full knowledge of the risks associated with this. In addition, I don't think we need an empire in Juneau. I think that the road system is where the people are and that the legislature needs to have access to the people. I'm a big proponent of getting the legislature out of Juneau and on to the road system, especially. I'm probably the biggest fan ever now with this, in my opinion, illegitimate ban on Alaska Airlines, so I can't even get there during session on the only airline that flies there, which I find outrageous. So with that, I will be a passionate no vote.
All right, back to members in the room. Seeing no one speaking.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
a couple. I'm not going to be a passionate anything on this particular deal, but the building's operating now legally. There would be savings, and I'm not defending it or disagreeing with anyone that are deciding they're going to vote for or against it, but we could eliminate some long-term leases that we have throughout Juneau. There's and we're aware of the minor environmental issues. There's at least a potential chance of an issue with the storage tank, but this is a gift. We're not agreeing to spend a penny, and without spending a penny, we could have a substantial reduction of what we're spending for other space right now. I'm going to support it, but I do strongly suggest that LAA execute a quick core sample contract to determine if we have any other issues even before the week's up. I don't think we do, but it would make me much more comfortable to know that there's not a plume that could potentially be an issue for us. Like I said, and we've heard from others, it's a small probability, but it is one that exists. So I think there's some benefits to the building and space we'd be leasing in perpetuity anyway that could be displaced and brought closer to the Capitol. So I'm okay with it.
Senator Seddon.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to speak in favor of taking the gift. Rarely do we have opportunities like this that come in the perfect economic world where the state is running on all its economic engines and everything, it's all nice and rosy in front of us. There's always challenges. Today we sit here, we have a piece of property right across the street from the Capitol, built in the same vintage as the Capitol, and needs to be rehabbed, regardless of who owns it. And we have a need for it. We have multiple uses for that property that can be decided in the future. If it's, as mentioned earlier, to take up some of the other properties that we're leasing and bring our storage areas and office space needed next to the Capitol building and cut our costs. The other advantage we have is we can control the neighborhood. We don't know who would buy it and what they would do with it, and if it would fit in with the Capitol or not. Just a risk. It's probably, I think, a bigger risk than what they may find looking around at the oil tank. And it has certainly a lot longer lasting impact. As far as the Capitol, it's in Juneau. And until the Constitution's changed, it's going to stay in Juneau. And the legislature meets in Juneau. And Juneau is a thriving community that has a road system, and it is on a road system. Part of it's a marine highway, but there is a road from here to Anchorage and Matsu and Fairbanks. So I think we need to take a serious look at this over the next couple of years after we accept the purchase and make a long-term wise decision how we want to remodel it. If part of it needs to be put in to apartments again, the way it was built originally, so we can ensure that as Juneau expands its economic base, we and the legislature would always have a place for an apartment when we're needed here in special session or in regular session. Then we could possibly rent them out when we don't need them. Or we'll have storage. And we have, you know, there's an underground parking for vehicles. There's all kinds of additive pluses to us as becoming the owner of that building. Very little downside. And the economic times change, and we'll be in a stronger financial position over the next several years, and we can deal with the remodel fairly easily. And in the meantime, we get a building, a commercial building, with viable tenants under lease paying every month. And we collect the rent. So let's move forward. Thank the Juneau Foundation for looking to our interests. Thank them for negotiating the building and getting it to us and helping secure a nice area around the Capitol building. And clearly, if you look at this Capitol building over the last couple of decades, we've improved it a lot. We've improved the Terry Miller building substantially and increased the working space of the employees, and I'm sure it would have increased their productivity. We purchased or got as a gift and rehabbed the Masonic Temple next door. The House of Representatives uses it a lot. Us in the Senate sniffle all the time. We got a smaller piece of that cookie. It's a very nice building. It's very beneficial to the public, too, with the meeting spaces in there. And also the little lounge or the couches people have a place to go sit down. And the building we're in today, it wasn't just a few handful of years ago, the wind was blowing through the windows and our papers were getting wet in the offices. And we had a hard time keeping the alarms from ringing when the wind blew because it would trigger the fire alarms. And I'm sure the productivity in this building has gone up, too, as we improved it. This will be the next step. Look across the street to the assembly building. We can even leave it gray. I don't really care what color it is. But I think it's a good opportunity, and I thank the Community Foundation, no matter how the vote comes out today, for bringing that forward. And I'm going to very proudly support that as a gift to the Capitol in Juneau for us and future generations.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Other members? I believe We are ready for a vote. Okay, no one is correcting me, so Ms. Lesh, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Edmonds?
Yes.
Representative Klayman?
Yes.
Representative Tuck?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Senate President Maticki?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Schauer?
Negative.
Senator Hughes?
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Stephen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold?
No.
Chair Hannon?
Yes.
10 yeas and 4 nays.
With 10 yeas and 4 nays, the motion has been adopted. I have no other items to come before the committee except for to wish Ms. Geary a happy birthday. Sorry we held you over today. Thank you for all the work you do for us and working hard on your birthday and the weekend leading up to your birthday. So thank you very much. With nothing to come before us, we are adjourned at 5:15.